In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be here with you today. And tomorrow is the Feast of Saint Benedict, one of the great founders of one of the major religious orders of the world. In fact, the rule of Saint Benedict are followed not only by Benedictines, but also by the Cistercians, also known as the Trappists, also follow the rule of Saint Benedict. And Saint Benedict's very interesting for a couple reasons. First of all, he's one of the founders of a major religious order who's not a priest. You know, so there's not that many that founded religious orders who were not priests. So Saint Benedict, of course, is one. In fact, he was not even ordained. He was not a priest or a deacon, whereas St. Francis of Assisi, of course, was not a priest, but he was a deacon who founded, of course, one of the other major religious orders of the world, which is the Franciscans. But St. Benedict is also a twin. He has a twin sister, Scholastica, his sister, and they're buried together in Monte Cassino in the monastery there in Italy. In fact, if you go in the church there, in the main church of the monastery, they are buried. Their crypts are inside the church, right next to each other. Saint Benedict, Saint Scholastica. So, he's near and dear to my heart, Saint Benedict, because you know I was in a Benedictine monastery for a while, and so I want to talk about two important parts of the rule of Saint Benedict. So, the rule of Saint Benedict was the rule that he created for monks. This is how monks are supposed to live in a monastery. But there are also some incredible lessons that we can learn in our everyday life from the rule of Saint Benedict, particularly on the topics of silence and humility. Both of those takes up a good portion of the rule. So I want to talk about that today. Your thoughts on silence and humility. We're going to take a look at how Saint Benedict talks about them in the rule and see how they can apply to our everyday lived experience. Because we talk about silence a lot on this show. And, I just don't think there's enough silence. I really don't think there's enough silence in our world, in our culture. Quite frankly, and honestly, even in our church, there's not enough silence. So silence and humility. Humility, again, means not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less, right? And even the Psalms say sometimes we have to be humbled so God can be exalted. You know, so humility is about putting the needs at the basic core, putting your love for God first and your neighbor before yourself. You know, looking out at what's always the best for the other and what's best for them, and not always what's best for yourself. It means sacrificing, sometimes even dying to yourself for the good of others. You know, it takes a spirit of humility in order to do that. But that's exactly the way that Christ calls us to live. So that's what I want to talk about today, Saint Benedict, and how Saint Benedict in his rule looks at silence and humility and how we can live that out in our lives every day. Of course, would love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside of North America, so if you're in the continent of Africa, or if you're in Asia or Australia, or, hey, Antarctica, would love to hear from you. Dial 1, then 205-271-2985. You can always email us at beacon@ewtn.com, and you can even text your question or comment to 1-833-288. EWTN, that's 1-833-288-3986. Just give us your first name, how you're listening, followed by your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. So before we dive into the topic here about Saint Benedict and his thoughts on silence and humility, I just wanted to clarify something. So at the end of the show yesterday, we're talking about the Assumption. We're talking about the show was on Our Life of Christ, Our Reflections on the Mysteries of the Rosary. Yesterday, we did the fourth glorious mystery, which is the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Body and Soul into Heaven. And I was rushing through the answer at the end. I just want to make sure I'm clarifying. I didn't say anything wrong, but I just want to clarify. So when it talks, the question was if Mary died. And it's actually a good question, because she was conceived without the stain of original sin, right? And so, and we all know from the book of Genesis, one of the effects, the major effect of sin was death. So if Mary was without sin, how could she die? So that's the question. So the Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church have kind of two different approaches to that. So the Orthodox Church talks about the great dormition, or the great sleep of Mary. So for them, it's more like a transition from earthly life to life forever with God in heaven. The Catholic Church teaches that Mary died, right? That she died, but she did not, her body did not undergo corruption, did not undergo the process of death, you know, what was the body starts decaying, all of that. So at the moment of her death, she received, again, as I mentioned yesterday, the reward that we all hope to receive, but we have to wait until Jesus comes back at the end of time to give the kingdom back over to his Father at the end of time, right? So he comes to judge the living and the dead, as we pray in the creed. And so at that time, when he separates the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the chaff, then we will get our bodies back. Right. And then and the book of Revelation talks about the new heaven and a new earth. So so Mary just received at the moment of her death the reward that we all hope to receive at the end of our life as well. So I just wanted to just clarify that a little bit more. All right. Saint Benedict on Silence and Humility, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And I also want to thank the people who you don't hear from. They're often silent, but they're also quite humble and gracious. The people who help bring you this show every day. I'm talking about Matt Kabinski, who will be screening your calls today. Michael McCall and Pedro Quiles will help us out on social media. And our producer, the man of silence and humility himself, Ace McKay. Ace, how you doing, my friend?
Good. Usually if there's silence involved, that means I'm napping. So try not to miss that too much.
Well, you don't have time to nap much now, right? I mean, with your schedule and every work and band and family stuff.
Yeah, it's different now, because whereas before it felt, when I was doing sports and a full-time job, like it was a lot. But now, like, it's flexible. Like the busyness is more flexible. Like I could never move a game or tell the teams, I don't feel like tonight. We'll play tomorrow. But in with the band, it's like usually we all kind of like, you know what, we're exhausted, and, you know, and we'll just call it a night, or we need a family night, those kinds of things. So it kind of helps when you have the flexibility of your own time.
Yeah, that's true. And I find that as I've gotten older, you know, it's funny how sometimes you revert back to kind of the childlike. So you know how kids used to take naps, right? Sometimes as a parent, you look forward to that, you know, get a break, you know, while the kids are napping. But now as you get older, it kind of like, oh, I could just use a nap, like in the middle of the day. My wife loves to take naps, you know, and things like that. But I found I just don't have really time for naps. Sometimes I do. If I'm dragging, like if I'm traveling and before speaking, you know, that night I may take a quick nap, like an hour or something like that. But for the most part, you know, and I still enjoy that occasionally, you know, like I said, if I'm tired, but most of the time I don't really need a nap.
Yeah, I can pretty much fall asleep anywhere, so don't leave me sitting still for too long. I joke with my wife all the time, I'm going to buy an old red and blue mat like we used to have in elementary school, and I'm just going to keep it in my car. Because then that way, if a nap breaks out somewhere, I just lay down the mat. I'm good to go.
There you go. Can you sleep on planes?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. See, so I can too, but some people can't.
Yep.
You know, the idea of flying in a piece of metal that weighs, you know, I don't know how many tons you know, 6 miles in the air traveling 500 miles an hour scares people. They can't relax.
What I fear is like leaning too far into the aisle and then getting nailed with the refreshment cart.
Ooh.
I don't worry about the plane. I just worry about the smaller injuries that I can control.
Yeah, I usually choose, if it's an overnight flight, I usually choose the window.
Yeah.
Because I can kind of lean, you know, it gives you a little more leaning room to lay your head down.
Sure.
Especially, again, if you can sleep. But most of the time, I prefer the aisle, I think. Although, I usually don't go to the bathroom on flights unless they're, again, overseas flights or something like that. So,
yeah.
I always have to get up for the person sitting next to me to go to the bathroom.
So, making yourself available to others, totally.
Yeah, see, there you go. That's the humility part.
That's
it. Right. We're talking about St. Benedict, whose feast day is tomorrow. We're talking about St. Benedict and his rule on silence and humility. 833-288-EWTN.
It's a good weekend song.
Yeah, that's right. You're driving home. You know, some of you may be, I guess depending on what part of the country you're in, you know, you could be driving home right now, fight through a little bit of that Friday traffic.
Yep.
You know, as you're trying to get home to enjoy the weekend and just listening to Beacon of Truth and some of our great bumper music that Ace lines up for us every day.
I feel like we need like an official Friday song, though. That way it kind of sanctions in the weekend. Like, yeah. Because I remember after years of being in radio, whatever format I was on, you had kind of a Friday feel-good song. Mm-hmm. And so for a long time, Wet Willie's Weekend, you know, Weekend, you know, or Celebration by Kool and the Gang, like those were good Friday songs.
Yeah. I remember, I grew up in New Jersey. So obviously they were the big New York radio station at the time. I forget which station it was, but every Friday they would play like Friday or weekend based songs, like Working for the Weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Working for the weekend.
Lover Boy, and
so like Lover Boy, right. So I think it was every hour. I think at the top of every hour, something like that, they play a Friday song or a weekend kind of theme song like that. And I thought it was pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, there's always, at some point, stations stopped doing this, but they used to have like those theme weekends. Like it'd be, you know, it's a Zeppelin weekend or it's a Mardi Gras weekend. And everything had that theme. And so, or I always liked when they did like the top 500 and then they would pick a year, because then you would hear some of the stuff that didn't necessarily make top 100. So it was kind of like B-side or bands that you liked or you remember music videos for, but never really was like a hit. But then you also hear all the big hits, too. So then, like, the last 2 hours, you're, like, engrossed in it because you're like, this is my childhood right here.
Yeah, it's so true. So true. And I just love when songs do that, bring me back to that time again.
Yeah.
You know, just love that. I'm Deacon Hal Burke-Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And tomorrow is the Feast of Saint Benedict, you know, often called the Father of Western Monasticism and one of the great saints of Europe. In fact, Pope Benedict XVI took his name after, of course, Saint Benedict. You know, one of the great advances of Western culture. You know, so we're gonna, his feast day is tomorrow, and he of course wrote his famous rule for monks. And I think there's some wonderful things in the rule that can apply to our everyday lived experience. And today, I want to talk about two things in that rule that St. Benedict discusses: silence and humility. Would love to hear. Maybe you're struggling with silence or struggling with humility, or you want to find more ways to find silence, or maybe you're trying to be humble, but you're struggling. Would love to hear your thoughts, or maybe you have some ways that you can help other listeners incorporate more silence into their life or be more humble. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. 3986.
Adding to your summer reading and knowing that when it comes to the religious catalog, easy to shop, comes right to your house. But while you're there today, look for My Days Are in Your Hands. It's Men and Women in the Footsteps of Jesus. Thanks to Cardinal Fernando Filoni. If you want to check that out and add it to your summer reading, do so by checking it out, EWTNRC.com.
All right, Saint Benedict and his rule, talking about silence and humility. That's our theme today. If you're struggling with silence and want to find more ways to foster more silence in your life, or if you're struggling with humility or not exactly sure what humility is and how to incorporate it more deeply into your life, into your prayer life, into your work life, into your family life, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you today. 833-288 EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You can all remember, you can also text us at 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Give us your first name and how you're listening, followed by your brief question. Remember, message and data rates may apply. All right. Well, we had Ryan in Houston, Texas, who called, but he couldn't stay on hold. He said, I love the topic of silence. I used to have an issue talking too much and gossiping. Through the rosary and adoration, I am learning how to embrace silence and think of others before myself. Silence is, and he put this in bold letters, incredibly important. Absolutely agree with Ryan there. A couple things. I don't think we foster enough silence either in our culture, in our church, and in ourselves. So, for example, in the culture, we are surrounded and inundated by noise. I mean, almost everywhere you look, people are wearing ear pods, people are walking around, you know, being stimulated either through social media or some kind of app on their phone, or TikTok or whatever it may be, or Instagram, whatever it is, and you know, doing the death scrolling, or some people say the doom scrolling, just mindlessly scrolling through content, you know, and we don't take enough time just to stop and take a breath. You know, because we want to be stimulated all the time. And in fact, when we're not stimulated, we're not engaging in those social media or online activities, we kind of feel like, what is, almost like you're going through withdrawal or something like that. I mean, if you're at that point, then you've got a problem. Seriously. I mean, you know, we need a break from those kinds of things, you know, and that's why I try to foster an atmosphere of silence every single day. That's why I'm not on social media. Very rarely am I on there. Although people say, I see you on there all the time. That's someone else who does that for me, who I pay to do that. But that's most of the time, I'd say over 90%+ of the time, it is not me. You know, I just don't have time for that. You know, like I said, I do listen. You know, when I go on my walks, you know, I do pray the rosary. And I often will pray the rosary listening to Mother Angelica pray the rosary, because that's what my mom did. And it's a nice way for me to remember my mom and Mother Angelica as well. So, I'll pray the rosary with Mother Angelica and the nuns. You know, I have the recording on my phone, so I'll just pull it up and listen as I'm walking. You know, and so, I listen to things too, but it's not my life. It's a tool. Like for example, when I went on my walk and listened to Kubo's or Spotify or Apple playlist, I will not listen to it again today. The only time I'll listen to that today is when I was walking. Not the rest of the time. I need to foster some time for silence, right? So that's important. Silence within our culture, and then silence within our church. Look, we all know this. Sometimes in many churches I go to, you know, silence is uncomfortable. You know, the first reading, word of the Lord, thanks be to, or let's go even before that. The priest said, as we gather here to celebrate these most sacred mysteries, let us call to mind our sins. And usually there's a pause. And then they start the confiteor, or they start the tropes, or whatever it may be. But sometimes they just dive right in. And now, if the priest allows me to lead the penitential rite, I always tell the priest, Father, I'm going to pause so people can take time to do what you just asked them to do. Let us call to mind our sins. Can I give them 4 seconds or 5 seconds to actually do that before I jump into the confetti or lead the tropes? You know, that kind of thing. You know, or the first reading, the word of the Lord, thanks be to God. Responsorial psalm. Whoa, hold on. You know, or you know, after the second reading or after the gospel. Oh, look. Whew, slow down. Take a breath. We just heard God speaking to us in his word. Let's take a few seconds to allow God's word, either in the first reading or the second reading of the gospel, to penetrate our hearts. That's why if you ever see me read the gospel, I always pause. At the end of the reading, I pause. Then I say the gospel of the Lord. And some people, I see some people looking at me like, what's he doing? Does he not know what to say? Like, look, I deacon for the Pope. I know what I'm doing, okay? The issue is we just heard our Lord Jesus Christ speaking to us, to you personally, to your life, to your heart at Mass. Let's take a few seconds for that word to penetrate. Or how about at communion? You know, that's when we're uniting our bodies with the bodies of the living God, body, blood, soul, divinity. But we are, again, I'm a musician, ace musician, love music at Mass, no issue with that at all. But when we receive communion, why is it there's a communion song, then a second communion song, and then a meditation song after the two communion songs? Come on, let's look. That may be someone's only time for adoration. Can we take a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes to just sit in silence while the priest or the deacon is doing the ablutions, you know, or the cleansing of the sacred vessels? Can we just take that time just to be quiet and just realize, oh my goodness, God just united himself to me. I have God in me in that Blessed Sacrament Eucharist right now. Let me think about what that means. What does that mean when I walk out of this church right now? How am I now going to cooperate with the grace that I just received in the sacrament? Let's take some time for that. You know, and finally, so not enough silence in our culture, not enough silence in our church, and not enough silence within ourselves. You know, how often do we just take time every day just to be quiet? Whether that's adoration, about in your car, all right, maybe you have a half an hour, maybe you're driving right now, half an hour, 45 minutes, maybe an hour drive because of traffic. Why do you have to listen to anything? Seriously, turn off. Don't turn off EWTN. Listen to EWTN. But after you listen to EWTN, I mean, or if you're not listening to, you know, don't listen to political talk radio or sports. Turn that stuff off and just be quiet. Why have we become so uncomfortable with silence? Because it's in that silence where God speaks to us. If we're not familiar with God's voice, then we need to get to know God better through silence. That's what we're talking about today. Saint Benedict on silence and humility. I think Saint Benedict and his rule, of course, written for monks, but there's some beautiful things in that can be applied to our everyday lived experience. Some beautiful things that Saint Benedict wrote for monks that we can also incorporate into our lives as Catholics every day. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
I think that's why it's important, because that silence was a big thing for me too, and you helped me in that transition, because when you understand your voice versus God's, I think sometimes in the silence we're afraid of it because we don't want to hear all the negative voices and all the things that have kind of ruled us at certain times in our life. But to be able to hear God's voice in the silence, then you allow yourself to lean into that as your strength, because you're like, I need everything else to just cut out because I need to hear from God right now.
Yeah, and that's why I think adoration is so uncomfortable for some people. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Just sit there and listen.
Yeah.
And get comfortable listening to God's voice, to the rhythm of the Holy Spirit in your life.
Yeah.
You know, we all need more of that.
Amen.
All right. St. Benedict on silence and humility, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
man. I love them.
Yep. That's awesome. And again, I love the almost like a little hip hop feel thing.
Sure.
Yeah, it sounds like a little bit of slide there.
Yeah. It's got that, you know, yeah. There's certain songs that have that summer guitar sound. I feel like that's in there.
George Thorogood stuff, man. That's definitely summer for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Stevie Ray.
Oh, man, I missed that dude. I was watching something the other day. He was doing an acoustic set from MTV Unplugged.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, you know, because that's when you can tell when you can play. When you can play that way on an acoustic, you know, because there's no distortion, nothing to hide any mistakes or no wah to hide any mistakes you might make. It's just, you know, the acoustic doesn't lie. He was just killing it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and he played with such, first of all, his action was really high and his strings were really heavy. Like he played with like 13s or something like that.
Mm.
And the action was, I'm like, how does he even control that thing? And to be able to play that way. But, I mean, I think that was all part of his tone, sound.
I've heard the story, and, I assume it's true because it sounds radical, that he would play to the point that his calluses would come off. Anybody that's ever played guitar, you know how important the calluses are. And he would super glue them back on during a show so that he could keep playing. So I feel like he had, by the time he played MTV, he had calluses and super glue just caked on so that he could do whatever he needed to.
Yeah, that's dedication right there.
Right?
Man. Or maybe a trip to the psychologist.
I don't know.
Not sure which one.
It says dedication for sure.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Especially when you're brilliant. And I'm so grateful I got a chance to see him before he died.
Mm, yeah.
You know, freshman year of college, one of the first concerts I went to, this was at the, I forget the name of the theater in South Bend, Indiana. And I saw Quiet Riot there. Who else did we see? Quiet Riot and a few other bands, but he played there and I got a chance to see him. And I'm so incredibly grateful, to get a chance to see someone with that incredible talent just do their thing.
Yeah,
live.
He was on tour with Clapton right before he passed, or when he passed. Mm-hmm. It was on that tour, and it was sold out, so I didn't get a chance to see him. But he had been in the city I was living in at the time 3 days before, or 3 days after. So Clapton came out and played, didn't say anything about anything. Like, he just sang, he could not bring himself to any words.
Yeah,
and just performed, and then after 3 hours, he left. And I get that, you know, especially, you know, guys like that, they respect each other, they're on tour together for a reason, you know.
So, yeah, yeah.
Lots happening there.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, you know, we were talking about the tragedy of some musicians, you know, like take their own lives or substance abuse problems, whatever it may be. But, I mean, helicopter crash, you know. Or same thing with like Randy Rhoads, you know, people like, oh, he played with Ozzy Osbourne. It must have been a drug overdose. No, you know, plane crash with him. You're just like, holy cow, you know, it's just, again, tying it back to our faith. You never know, right? You always have to be prepared and ready to meet Jesus. You just never know when your time's going to come.
Well, and I don't know if you know this story. So you talk about plane crash. So the Buddy Holly crash, which took Big Bopper and Richie Valens. Mm-hmm. Waylon Jennings was supposed to be on that chopper.
No way.
And he swapped, I think, with Buddy.
Whoa.
And he dealt with guilt for decades and fell into drinking and all kinds of other things. And then, you know, came back full circle, cleaned up and whatnot. But that would be another side of it, too, you know, is that when legends are taken from us and those kinds of moments, it's like, man, God clearly had a plan for his life, you know, because it's just a turn like that. And the American Pie is about that whole tragedy of, you know, the day the music died. How much would have music changed in the direction it did after that happened? Because they were the biggest voices in music at that time.
Yep. Yep. You just never know.
Yeah.
You know, just never know. Just be grateful for every day and every moment that we have until we meet Jesus.
Amen.
I'm Deacon Halberg. So we're listening to Beacon of Truth. And tomorrow, July 11th, is the Feast of St. Benedict. So I thought it'd be great to take a look at two topics that St. Benedict explores in his rule for monks, which are applicable to our everyday lived experience. That's silence and humility. Would love to hear from you today about your thoughts about silence, humility. Maybe you struggle with both, want to incorporate them more deeply into your life every day. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Keeping our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the pro-life movement. Easy to do, thanks to EWTN Radio. And this weekend, catch Pro-Life Weekly as you catch up with what's trending this week. But 10 a.m. on Sunday morning is another chance to find out where you can be involved, where you can be in prayer, where you can definitely send people who have maybe been there, done that, and also having some regrets. How can they follow through with that with the next level? Just check it out. Pro-Life Weekly, Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
All right. St. Benedict on silence and humility. That's our topic today. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Julie is a first-time caller calling from Burton, Ohio. Listening on Sirius XM 130. Julie, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hello.
Hey, Julie, you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Beacon. I just, first-time caller, all that, and I just wanted to thank you and tell you I so appreciate the fact that you are saying it out loud to everybody that there needs to be time during the Mass to breathe, you know, to think and to pray. And I so appreciate that. There's so many times, you know, they have, and I love music, love songs, everything's great. But, you know, after communion, you know, having that time to really reflect. And just as you said, you know, really having that moment to commune with God right then, you know?
Yes. No, I absolutely agree. And in fact, when the bishops of the Pacific, when John Paul II was still Pope, still Holy Father, the bishops from my part of the U.S., the Pacific Northwest, went to their ad limina visit. That's their visit every 5 years to go meet with the Pope to kind of give the state of the union, like what's going on in my archdiocese, my eparchy, my diocese, my area. And so the Pope usually has mass and gives an address to the bishops from the particular parts of the world that are coming to visit him. And during his visit with the Pacific Northwest bishops, he said, one of the ways that we can be most active at mass is through silence. And I loved that. I loved that because when the Second Vatican Council talked about active participation in the mass, they used the Latin word actuositatem, which means a deeper, richer, inner participation. They didn't use the word activa, which means active, like doing something. Like, act, you know, that's where the word active comes from. But they used a deeper, we need to find time, spaces in the Mass, like you said. In fact, I loved the way you said that, Julie. Why? Because what is that? In Hebrew, ruach is the breath of the Holy Spirit. So I think the Holy Spirit can work in the Mass if we allow the Holy Spirit to breathe. And one of the ways we allow the Holy Spirit to really breathe in our hearts during the Mass is to be quiet, is to be silent, to absorb and take in what God is doing with and for us in that holy sacrifice of the Mass. And so I always try to foster silence. If I'm in a Mass, you know, obviously I'm not saying Mass, so I'm not in control, but If there's just too much music, too much noise, I just try to, you know, close my eyes and take some breaths and try to find a quiet space in my heart. Now, I do want to say this, though. Some people may say, well, when I watch Mass at EWTN, you know, like when, you know, Father Joseph, whoever, Father Matthew is doing the ablutions or, you know, the deacon after, you know, they're playing music in the background. Why can't they be quiet? Well, different thing on television and radio. Why? Because if they don't do anything, it's dead. Say you're tuning in, and all of a sudden you don't hear anything. You're going to think, what's wrong? Is something wrong with my app? Or is something wrong with the radio? Something wrong with the, and you think there's dead air. you think, oh, they must not be on the, and then you turn the channel. No. So for those purposes, they have to play at least some organ music or something in the background so people that are not watching but are listening know that there's some that there's not dead air, that the program is actually on. So that's a different dynamic. What I'm talking about is being actually at Mass when we're there in the presence of the living God and experiencing everything God wants to give us. And I think silence is something that's very much underappreciated. So, Julie, love your call. And thank you so much. It was great to hear from you. And I'm going to be in Ohio, oh gosh, probably 5 or 6 times in the fall. So take a look at my schedule. I'd love to come meet you if I'm going to be near Burton. All right, my friend, St. Benedict, whose feast day is tomorrow, we're talking about silence and humility. Would love to hear from you today, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Remember, you can also text us, 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. So St. Benedict talks about silence and humility in chapter 6. And 7 in the rule. So he talks about silence first. So in chapter 6, and the thing that St. Benedict does, he quotes scripture a ton in the rule. He's almost constantly quoting from scripture, from the word of God. I love that. So when in chapter 6, when he talks about silence, he says, let us do what the prophet says. So prophet here. He's not talking specifically about one of the prophets proper, like Isaiah or Ezekiel or Hosea or Amos or any of those prophets, like the prophetic books, right, per se. Here he's quoting the Psalms, which, of course, he has a whole section regulating how the Psalms are to be prayed, how he breaks 150 Psalms up and the cycle that the monks are to follow when they're praying the Psalms. He spends a lot of time on the Psalms, so it's no surprise that he quotes from the Psalms in the rule here. So when he talks about the prophet here, this is Psalm 38, so the first 41 Psalms are by David. So the prophet here is actually talking about King David. He says, I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I have set a guard on my mouth. I was mute and was humbled and kept silence even from good things. Right? That's Psalm 38, verses 2 and 3. And St. Benedict says, here the prophet, and in this case David, shows that if the spirit of silence ought to lead us at times to even refrain from good speech, so much the more ought the punishment for sin make us avoid evil words. So this is actually a very good lesson. Sometimes we have to pause and stop and think before we say something, especially when we're angry. Because come on, we're human beings, right? If someone lashes out at you, for example, I remember in the airport, I always wear a crucifix. I can't wear cleric, so I wear a crucifix miraculous medal. And someone called me child molester once. Now, thinking I was a priest, you know, because a lot of priests when they travel don't wear clerics, right? So, but he thought the crucifix and miraculous medal obviously identified that as someone that's Catholic and thought that I might be a priest or something. So I'm sure he's a child molester. And so I could have, and I was angry. I ain't gonna lie. I was angry when I heard that. But I could have lashed back. I could have, you know, but I didn't. You know, sometimes we just need to be quiet. What does Jesus say right before Pilate? He's like the shearer, the sheep before the shearer. He opened not his mouth. So sometimes it's better just to be quiet and not respond at all, even when we're attacked. And that doesn't mean you don't defend yourself like physically. Someone's a physical, but I'm talking about verbally. You know what? The person is angry. And again, I hear when someone yells at me, I'm hurting. Please help me. Or I'm lost, please show me the way, right? And which also is exercising humility as well. That's when Jesus talks about turning the other cheek, or if they take your clothes, give me your cloak as well. Or, you know, that's what Jesus is talking about there. All right, talking about St. Benedict and his teachings on silence and humility, 833-288 EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Kathy is calling from California, listening on Sirius XM 130. Kathy, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi there. I just caught a little bit of what you said on the radio on the way home. Mm-hmm. And I want you to know this just, like, touches the deepest part of my soul, because I want so much to really take in our Lord and pray and ask for his help right after communion and really think about what I am doing. But I find it so hard with all the surrounding noise, the announcement. It kind of lends itself, the announcement at the end, to everybody talking. It kind of is a distraction. So I'm always just thinking about this, and it was so amazing that that's exactly, I think, what you were talking about, because I only caught the tail end. But I want so much to enter into that space and really appreciate that I just received Jesus. But I find it hard with all the announcements and the distractions and then people talking after Mass. And I really struggle with that. And I sometimes think, am I being proud? I don't mean to be. I just want to be alone with our Lord. And I find it difficult to do. I just wanted to share that with you.
Yeah, and I feel the same way, Kathy. You know, and some churches, I'm almost in a different parish every week somewhere, and I've noticed a couple things. I've noticed some parishes have begun to do the announcements before Mass, so they won't do announcements like, you know, like usually after the prayer after communion. Then say, okay, let's sit down for announcements, or someone gets up and read a bunch of announcements. Someone, you know, talks about the bishop's appeal or whatever it may be, or second collection, whatever it may be, or announcement about the bake sale or something. And I agree with you, that's distracting. So some parishes have moved the announcements to before Mass starts. But here's the thing why I think a lot of parishes don't do that, because people come late and they don't, you know, they probably won't read it in the bulletin. You know, in fact, some parishes don't have bulletins anymore because, you know, the whole paper thing, and everybody gets things on their phones. And but I find announcements distracting. But then you weigh that against, okay, how do we get this important information to people in the parish? So here's what I would propose. This is just me. This is not church. This is just Deacon Harold just opining here. I think you have Mass. At the end of Mass, you do the blessing. And before the final song, then you make the announcements. Why? Because Mass is now over. You've done the final blessing. Go in peace. Or you're done. The only thing now left is a song, the recessional hymn. So that's when you do the announcements, maybe at that point. And so it doesn't cut into the Mass. Because, again, we just received Jesus in communion. Next thing we do, or even worse, birthdays or anniversaries. Who has a birthday and they sing happy birthday? Who has an anniversary and everybody starts clapping? I'm like, look, I get it. It's important to acknowledge important milestones in people's lives. But you know what would be better? How about people coming forward and getting a blessing from the priest? And again, this should be stopped. Everybody extending their hands. The priest inviting people to extend their hands over everybody. That needs to stop. The priest is the one who's in person. I can't even do that. You know, priests are in persona Christi. People are, the priest is in the person of Jesus Christ. He should be the one giving the blessing. Not everybody extending over, giving blessings to everybody, especially in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. That absolutely inappropriate. So I think that, you know, sometimes priests are trying to find a balance and struggle with being pastoral and how do I balance this and that, and they have to fight their battles. But I think, you know, the beauty and silence and the power of the Mass needs to come first. You know, and more opportunities for confession. You know, if you build it, the field of dreams, if you build it, they will come. Same thing, if you offer the more confession, people will come. And I found in parishes where they do that, that they're seeing increases in vocations and stronger marriages and a lot of fruits from having more times for confession. So I totally agree with you there, Kathy, and so much appreciate your call. And again, you talk about the announcements and that kind of stuff too. totally agree with you on that. So maybe we can find a better way to do that. And would love to hear from you today as we continue our reflections of St. Benedict and his rule on silence and humility. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Let's move on to Chapter 7 of the Rule of St. Benedict, where he talks about humility. All right. And so he quotes a ton of scripture here. So he quotes, first of all, from Luke chapter 14, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Right. Love that. And then he quotes again, quoting from the Psalms, Psalm 130. Which is one of the gradual psalms, or songs of ascents, that Psalm 120 to 134. Again, these were psalms that were sung by worshipers as they went to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Passover, Unleavened Bread, both the Pesach, or the Feast of Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, the Wheat Harvest of Shavuot, or the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, which was the Fruit Harvest of the Sukkot. So he quotes here, he says, Lord, my heart is not exalted, or in Hebrew, it's either word, proud or exalted, same word, nor my eyes lifted up or haughty. Neither have walked in great matters nor in wonders above me. That obviously is a different translation of the psalm here in the rule. So he's drawing us into the heart of God, right? This humility that helps us to see God by being humble. That's his point here by quoting these passages from scripture. And then he gives us 3 degrees of humility. So, and that these are the takeaways that we want to have for today when it comes to humility, speaking from the rule of St. Benedict. So he says the first degree of humility is that a person keep the fear of God before his eyes and beware of never forgetting it. Now again, the word for fear here is yareh in Hebrew. That doesn't mean be afraid of, like, oh, I'm so scared. You know, no, it means honor, reverence, and respect. It's a filial fear. It's the same kind of fear that you have as a child from the fear of disappointing your parents, right? It's that kind of thing. So that when he means the fear of God, that's what he's talking about. So we're supposed to keep honor, reverence, and respect for God first and foremost, and never forget it. Let us be mindful of all that God has commanded, and Lord, our thoughts constantly recur, I love this, to the hellfire, which will burn for their sins those who despise God. You know, so I think St. Benedict here is saying, you know, we should always have that love for God burning on our hearts, and that should be first and foremost in our minds. And he says the second degree of humility is that the person love not his own will, nor take pleasure in satisfying his desires, but model his actions on the saying of the Lord. I have not come to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Beautiful quote from our Lord in John chapter 6. Right? So the second degree of humility is not loving or satisfying the desires for myself, but making a gift of myself to others. All right, St. Benedict on humility and silence today in the Rule of St. Benedict. Let's go to Susan, calling from South Carolina, listening on Sirius XM 130. Susan, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, Deacon. Thanks for taking my call.
So you're most welcome.
I have a comment kind of slash question. Mm-hmm. I was at Mass last week, and I've seen this all the time. And they have a Eucharistic minister in the back of the church handing out Holy Communion. People receive the host, the Eucharist, and they go right out the door. I don't think they even swallowed the Eucharist. They're out. I couldn't believe it. I was like, our Lord is to go. And do they even count that as like they stayed at Mass? They're not there for the blessing? Nothing.
Yeah, I've seen the same thing, Susan. A couple of things we got to remember here. The only Eucharistic ministers are priests. Right, so we got to be, you know, we want to make sure we're using the correct language here. Those are, if a lay person is distributing communion at Mass, they're extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion. So the degrees are Eucharistic minister, which is only the priest or the bishop. Then you have ordinary ministers of Holy Communion, which we include deacons as part of that. And do you have extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion, which include which would be lay people distributing communion at Mass, and then only then when it's necessary, so as not to delay or prolong the Mass. All right. So, but yeah. So after you receive communion, you should stay for the end for the blessing. You know. But some people, again, they're just there. Okay, I went to Mass, I got communion, and then they're out the door. You know, personally. Does it count as Mass for them be attending Mass? Yes. But personally, I think that's incredibly disrespectful. You know, you don't walk out in the middle of a meal for your friend because you go, okay, I had the meal, now I'm going to go. No, you stay and spend time with that person, right? And the same thing, stay and spend time with our Lord. All right. Mixing and mastering our faith, the timber of the saints, our unique gifts and vocations. Next week on Beacon of Truth, remember you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio. Until we're together again, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.